This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which helps support optimal cardiovascular health. Ubiquinol, natokinase, and MK7K2. They play a central role in cellular energy production and maintaining proper blood flow and arterial elasticity, but they're only available from healthcare practitioners. But they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, part two of our discussion with Dr. William Davis, who's written a great book, Undoctored, Why Healthcare Has Failed You, and How You Can Become Smarter Than Your Doctor. And so, you know, I'll start, Dr. Davis, you know, why the title Undoctoring? What's that about?
Well, it started because people would say, it goes back to the wheat belly experience. People would say, I told my doctor I'm going to do this wheat belly thing. No grains, no wheat. I'm going to limit my carbs, take vitamin D, fish oil, etc. And the doctor says, that's stupid. Why would you do that? You're going to get a heart attack. Don't bother me with it. Well, the person would do it anyway and would lose 73 pounds and reverse their type 2 diabetes and skin rashes, migraine headaches and irritable bowel syndrome symptoms and their fibromyalgia, on and on and on, get rid of their medications. And the doctor, they'd go back to the doctor and the doctor would just shrug and say, so what? I don't know. Just do what you're doing. What I saw happening was, and I'm talking about mainstream doctors. I'm not talking about a guy like Dr. Ronald Hoffman, who's enlightened, makes it his business to keep abreast. I'm not talking about the naturopaths or the functional medicine docs. I'm talking about mainstream people, doctors who dispense prescriptions willy-nilly, send people to the hospital for neurology consultations and MRI and spinal tap, the conventional medical doctors. They're just not, they've abdicated their responsibility to not provide health and instead provide prescriptions and revenue generating procedures. And when they're faced with actual health, they don't recognize it. And so what I saw we had in this collection of only six basic strategies was the key to restoring health at so many levels. So regardless of whether you were labeled with rheumatoid arthritis or type 2 diabetes or high triglycerides or high cholesterol or odd skin rashes or arthritis in your hands or hundreds of other conditions, it didn't matter because the overwhelming likelihood was that you wouldn't have those conditions within the space of a few weeks, sometimes a few months in neurological and autoimmune conditions. So I saw this as a means for people to take back control over themselves. And fold into this now, this growing and very powerful phenomenon of collaboration among people. It could be on Facebook. It could be on a forum, a discussion forum. It could be on a website that facilitates collaboration, like patientslikeme.com or my undoctored inner circle. But it's a place for people to collaborate and learn from each other. And what I see happening is enormous power in the hands of people over personal health.
And in fact, you're right, and I'll quote from your introduction. I propose that people can manage their own health safely and responsibly and attain results superior, underlined superior, to those achieved through conventional health care. Not less than, not on a par with, but superior. So this is a real call to action. This is like a revolution in health care where you kind of take the nexus away from the medical establishment and place it squarely on the shoulders of the patient.
You know, I should point out what we're not doing in the undoctored program is saying diagnose your own disease. We're not saying mm-hmm. that. Nobody's diagnosing anything. What we're saying is just engage in this simple list of six strategies that I call the undoctored, wild, naked, and unwashed program. Engage in these six strategies, and more than likely, the health conditions you have, whether it's obesity or diabetes or migraine headaches, more than likely it'll be gone in short order. And you won't need the Lipitor, the Enbrel, the Humira, the Toujeo, the Farxiga, and all that other stuff that people are put on. Not to say everybody gains 100. There are conditions beyond our reach. If you smoked mm-hmm. cigarettes for 40 years, we can't make your lungs better. If you have autistic spectrum disorder, obviously we're not going to get rid of that. if you have dengue fever, malaria, we're not going to have an impact on that. But all the diseases of lifestyle, the diabetes, the heart disease, all that very painfully common stuff, the overwhelming majority of it just reverses within weeks.
Are you inalterably opposed to statins? Are there no circumstances where you would, as a cardiologist, prescribe a statin?
I would to the non-compliant and ignorant.
Okay.
The people who say, I don't give a damn what you say, doc. I'm going to continue smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, and I don't care to follow your dopey diet. Just give me a pill. Those are the people who can use the 1% reduction in heart attack that comes from a statin drug. As you know, that's this idea that statin slash heart disease risk is a is complete fiction. It's a fiction of statin drug company marketing and the way they manipulate statistics to inflate the numbers. It's like saying, if I make your money grow from 3% per year to 6% per year, I'm giving you 100% return on your money. Mm-hmm. That's, of course, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that's the way Big Pharma works.
Can you elaborate? Can you explain the difference between relative risk and absolute risk and how they manipulate those statistics? I think it's interesting to go into that a little bit. And then also number needed to treat when it comes to statins.
Yeah, good for you. Excellent. Yes. So this is how the drug industry passes off their marketing data. So if I have a drug, for instance, and I give it to 100 people, and the placebo group has 2 heart attacks, and the statin group has 1 heart attack. So we go from 2 heart attacks to 1. That's a 50% reduction in heart attack in their terms. That's called relative risk. Of course, that's not 50% reduction. That's a reduction of 1, a very teensy weensy reduction. It's a 1% reduction. Mm-hmm. But when they do the manipulation of relative risk, it looks like 50%. Of course, what our colleagues here and what they tell their patients is, take this drug, it'll reduce heart attacks by 50%. Mm-hmm. And we hear of 100 heart attacks, 50 people won't have heart attacks. And that's why statins are sold so successfully, because they use these inflated numbers.
What it actually means is that 98 out of the 100 people are going to take the statin completely unnecessarily, creating the risk of side effects as well.
Absolutely, including increased type 2 diabetes, some impairment of brain function, increase in coronary calcium score, and lots of other things. I've been seeing, by the way, lots more ruptured tendons on people on statin drugs. So I can't conceive of a good reason why someone who's compliant with this kind of lifestyle would need a statin drug.
What about stents? You know, they're so popular these days, and, you know, doctors sell them with alarming terms like, you've got that widowmaker. You know, they'll point to like a narrowed lesion in your coronary arteries, and they say, we got to fix that, go in there, put in a stent, and you'll be fine.
My colleagues are geniuses for manipulating human behavior. As you point out, they call things like the widowmaker. Or, John, if you walk out of here, I can't be responsible for your safety. You're a walking time bomb. Mm-hmm. They know exactly how to push someone's buttons to manipulate you into giving into a procedure. So stents have their role. If you're having a heart attack right now, you'd want a stent. But it's been called into question, as you know, when they're put in for more stable levels of disease, where you're just having some chest pain, maybe when you exert yourself. But when we step back for a moment, so people are given a diet that causes heart disease. That is via consumption of, by cutting fat and consuming more grains. That causes provocation of small LDL particles, other abnormalities like high triglycerides, after eating or postprandial distortions, higher blood sugar, higher blood pressure, higher C-reactive protein. It's very inflammatory. If you use polyunsaturates like they tell us to, you have even more inflammation. So the public is given a diet that's highly inflammatory and promotes heart disease. And then the medical system steps in with their statin drugs and procedures. So that you can see the whole thing, this whole house of cards is corrupt. So what I think you and I are trying to promote is, let's get rid of the whole mess. Mm-hmm. Start with a diet that actually works, reduce the causes like small LDL particles and inflammation, and reverse it back to normal. correct some of the common deficiencies like omega-3 fatty acid deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, iodine deficiency, cultivate bowel flora. You know, that's the one that trips people up the most, all the efforts we take to cultivate bowel flora. But I remind people, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, and when I was a kid, which is kind of a densely populated state, but even when I was a kid, I'd walk to school, a mile to school, walk to school. There'd be grasshoppers everywhere. There'd be butterflies and moths and fireflies and hummingbirds. Yep. Now
it's a dead zone.
Outside, it's a dead, yes, it's a dead zone. Yeah. There's no butterflies. There's very rare firefly. There are no, I haven't seen a grasshopper in 20, 30 years. Mm. Well, we've decimated our external environment. We've done the same internally. We've screwed up our internal environment, meaning our microbiome. And that's a big deal. And so, while I don't have all the answers, we're working to restore internal health in bowel flora in particular. And I think we're having increasing success. So the people who say they do the basic Wheat Belly or Undoctored program, they say, you know what? I'm so much better. I lost 48 pounds. I'm off my medications. But my rheumatoid arthritis is only 70-80% better, and I get an occasional flare-up, or their fibromyalgia, or their restless leg syndrome, or something else. And these are the people where you take a very purposeful effort to further add some additional efforts for bowel flora, such as address their small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO. And we've been having tremendous success in doing those kinds of things. It's kind of additional effort for some people.
Well, you seem all fired up. Speaking of the microbiome, you seem all excited these days about a certain probiotic. I think if I got the pronunciation correct, it's L. reuteri. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, Lactobacillus reuteri.
Reuteri.
It was discovered by a German scientist, Reuter. I stumbled on these very elegant studies from MIT in mice, where they gave mice this bacteria, and they noticed that their fur became very thick and, as they said, luxuriant within a week. So they extended the studies to all sorts of other situations. For instance, they gave two groups of mice the same awful diet. It was a diet intended to make them fat and sick. So the control group that just got the diet got fat, diabetic, lost their hair, got old, stopped grooming each other, stopped mating. The other group of mice, given the same lousy diet, but also given this one strain of bacteria, stayed slender their entire life, did not become diabetic, didn't lose their hair, continued to mate and play with each other. In other words, they stayed young until death. Now, lots of other observations came by way of mice, and now they've been corroborated in humans. Not all of it, but a lot of it has. And so it's a very specific strain. Funny thing, though, when you buy this strain, it's locked up with a bunch of patents from a company called BioGaia, B-I-O-G-A-I-A, and the product is called Gastrus, G-A-S-T-R-U-S. Mm-hmm. They're Swedish. Well, they'll sell it to you. Mm-hmm. They'll sell it to you in low counts, though, 100 million bacteria, CFUs, which sounds like a lot, but as you know, we have trillions in our guts, and 100 million is almost nothing. It's like a piece of sand on the beach. So all I did was I crafted a unique way to make yogurt. Not that we care about yogurt. It's just a way to amplify bacterial counts, and we do it in a very specific way by using prebiotic fibers in the yogurt itself to increase bacterial counts into the trillion range. And lo and behold, we eat about a half cup of this yogurt, and we're seeing virtually all the effects seen in animals and some of the human studies, such as increased skin thickness and reduction of wrinkles within weeks.
And dramatic. Do you have a recipe for this on your website?
Yeah, I posted on both the Wheat Belly blog and the Undoctored blog. There's lots and lots of conversations about this, but the one place I summarize it is called Making L. reuteri Yogurt. And it's just a how-to, here's what you do. And it's important to follow the steps because it's not tough, but I learned this by many, many trial and error attempts. And do it the right way. Not only do you get these extravagant benefits, accelerated skin healing, accelerated healing elsewhere, increased bone density, that's been corroborated in humans, increased muscle, accelerated loss of visceral fat, it turns off appetite almost completely. You still love food, but you have complete control over your appetite, and lots of other effects. Increased libido, for instance.
And this, and you, see, you use a starter kit, and then you use the technique that you talk about on those websites.
Yeah, we start with the tablets, 10 tablets. We crush them, like in a baggie with a rolling pin or a mortar and pestle, or any or a heavy glass, anything, to crush the tablets down to fragments. And then you put it in a quart of, I use organic half and half. You can use coconut milk, but coconut milk is a little trickier. Mm-hmm. And a couple tablespoons of your choice of prebiotic fiber, like I use Bob's Red Mill raw potato starch because it's inexpensive and accessible, or inulin powder. Mm-hmm. And then you keep it at about 100 degrees. In my blog post, I said 110, but we've revised that. This organism seems to prefer about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And you do that for an extended period, like 36 hours, because we want really high counts. We want to convert as much of the lactose to lactic acid. And the accumulation of lactic acid, which makes it very tart, by the way, denatures.
Like a sour milk drink, like a kefir kind of drink or something.
Kind of like that. It's very tart. So we often add like a few drops of stevia or something, take the edge off. But the drop in pH from the lactic acid also breaks down or denatures the casein protein, the casein beta A1. It makes it less immunogenic. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it is the most delicious, rich yogurt you'll ever have. It's not a terrible thing. It's actually a delicious thing. And I'm just shocked when I see the results in people. The ladies pay more attention to skin health than the guys do. But the ladies are showing me 4 weeks before and after selfies now. And you can see it. You can see a reduction in skin wrinkles. They look younger. I had one woman who I hadn't seen in 3 weeks. I didn't recognize her because she had turned the clock back 20 years. I had to ask her, is that you, Kathleen? It's so striking. It's a lot of fun.
That's great. That's really an exciting pearl that we can share with our intelligent medicine listeners. So what do you mean by becoming an unpatient? And even with DIY heart care, do-it-yourself heart care, what does that consist of?
Well, it's that if not doctors like you or functional medicine doctors, those are the groups of people who are emerging as the true advocates for health. So I'm talking about the mainstream doctor who doesn't have time for you, is controlled essentially by the health insurance industry. They only got 10 minutes of your time while they type away on their tablet. These are the people who are dispensing the majority of care. Well, no one's getting care. No one's getting healthy from that. The $3 trillion a year spent on conventional health care is not making Americans healthier.
And in fact, it's a misnomer. Health care, it's more disease management.
Absolutely. Exactly right. So if the doctors aren't providing health and healing, who is? So that's why you do what you do and I do what I do. We're trying to help people understand that not only can you be healthy, you can have magnificent health and slenderness and now even youthfulness. But it's not going to come from that 10-minute interaction with the conventional primary care doctor or the gastroenterologist or the neurologist. So and on the other hand, on an optimistic note, it's also a time where the tools we have available to us, information tools online, smartphone apps, health tools that measure all kinds of things, the tools and the information has never been better for people to take back personal control over health.
And that's what we're doing here and sharing your message with our audience, because it's an empowering message. And taking back the locus of control from a medical establishment that is missing the boat in a lot of ways. You mentioned supplements in your book, and there's some that you favor for, you know, general purposes, but also for, you know, targeted treatment of certain conditions.
Yeah, so when we remove grains, we remove all those phytates that previously bound up magnesium, calcium, iron, zinc. Well, when you take grains out of the diet, and thereby phytates, iron, zinc, and calcium levels tend to move back towards normal without extra effort. That's not always true, but it's true in the majority. The one mineral that does not get fully restored after phytates are removed is magnesium. And the reason for that is because we drink filtered water, which removes all magnesium, and modern produce tends to have about 40 to 60% less magnesium than organic strains. So you can buy organic, that's a partial solution. But most of us do far better by supplementing magnesium. So that's a response to both prior grain consumption as well as some of the difficulties of modern life. The other nutrients are also all intrinsically necessary. So everything in the undoctored program is intrinsically necessary for human survival. Vitamin C is not part of it. If you're just eating lots of green vegetables, I'm happy with that. But as an illustration, if you and I didn't have fresh fruits and vegetables, say, for a couple of months, and we got scurvy, and we have big open sores on our body, our teeth are falling out, our joints disintegrating, the conventional medical solution would be find an orthopedist to put in a new hip, get a plastic surgeon to do skin grafts, give you antibiotics, but never address the cause, which is just simple vitamin C. So what we're doing with these supplements is addressing intrinsic human needs and common deficiencies, like vitamin D. So lots of people are doing vitamin D now because, as modern people, we don't run around naked. We prefer to wear clothes, and we don't eat liver very much, and we lose the capacity to activate vitamin D in the skin as we age. And so for those reasons, we address that intrinsic need for vitamin D with vitamin D supplements. So all the supplements in the undoctored program serve an intrinsic human need. So that you won't see ashwagandha or turmeric. Not to say those things won't have a benefit, but they won't have the same kinds of outsized benefits that replacing nutrients that are intrinsically necessary for human life provide.
So really, in your program, in the undoctored program, diet is of great primacy. It's more about what to eat and what to avoid than just taking a million supplements.
Absolutely. I do. I'm sure you and I see lots of people who take these long, long lists of supplements. And most of those are not necessary. A lot of nutritional status improves just with that first step, grain elimination. So like we talked about, if you eliminate the phytates of grains, magnesium goes up, not all the way, that's why we supplement. Calcium goes up, iron goes up, zinc goes up. Lots of people with iron deficiency anemia respond just to grain elimination. Mm-hmm. B12 goes up, folate goes up. In other words, you can take all those supplements, but you often don't need to. Just correct the things that keep you from reabsorbing it. Cultivate bowel flora, and numerous nutrient levels go up now.
What role for exercise, do you think exercise is overrated? Because there are tons of people who exercise like crazy. They can't seem to shed the pounds.
Excellent point. Yes, exercise is a lousy way to lose weight. It does work if you go from a sedentary lifestyle to a very active lifestyle. There's an early weight loss, but it's a lousy way to maintain weight long term. So exercise, though, is very helpful for reducing risk for dementia and type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and making you feel better, increasing bone density and maintaining muscle mass. So there's lots of benefits to exercise, but not weight loss. So I encourage people to stay active. I find, though, people are very particular about the form of exercise they choose. You know, some people it's jogging, some people it's dancing, some people it's Zumba, some people it's, you know, all kinds of different things. So I encourage people to do things that they enjoy to do, that they look forward to, and try to do it 30 minutes three times a week. The one thing I actually am specific and I specifically encourage is strength training in some form. You know, I view muscle mass as a biomarker for age and vigor. And I even encourage people to, you know, maybe even track their muscle mass on a scale, on a bioimpedance device, or at least, you know, be aware of their strength, because that's one of the things that falls apart as we age, particularly people who've yo-yo dieted in the past. They lose huge amounts of muscle. So I do encourage people to engage in some form of strength training. By the way, the people who take that crazy yogurt, the Lactobacillus rotari yogurt, there was a very substantial increase in muscle mass. When I first started doing this myself, I go to the gym to strength train once, maybe twice a week for 15 minutes. So I'm not talking about going to the gym for hours on end, looking at yourself in the mirror. I'm talking about a very modest effort. I gained 12 pounds of muscle within a couple of months just by going to the gym once, maybe twice a week. That's how powerful that strategy is.
And it's a metabolic effect. It's not a caloric effect. It's not like a super form of protein, you know, where people consume vats of protein powder to hopefully push their muscle volume. That's it just right. it alters the metabolic equation within the gut that is so important.
I don't want to focus too much on this yogurt because it's just an add-on, mm-hmm. small add-on to the program. But it works by way of causing the hypothalamus in the brain to release oxytocin, the hormone oxytocin. Mm-hmm. Which, when I first heard that, I thought, what in the world is it? You know, you and I know oxytocin as Pitocin, the drug Pitocin, yeah. mm-hmm. induce delivery of a child mm-hmm. and a pregnant mom. But it's proven to be so much more than that. You may have heard that Big Pharma is trying to capture it. They'll probably try to make a derivative so they can increase their profits.
Yep, that's patentable. Because it's a natural substance. You can't patent a natural substance.
Exactly. But the Chinese did a study. Intranasal oxytocin, in this case, not from the yogurt. Intranasal oxytocin, 24 units, 4 times a day, in participants versus placebo. Over 2 months, placebo group lost nothing. Oxytocin group lost 19.8 pounds. No change in diet, no exercise, nothing. Just the oxytocin. So there's so many unappreciated or underappreciated effects of the oxytocin and now of this lactobacillus reuteri. A study came out about a month ago. Women 75 to 80 given lactobacillus reuteri as a probiotic, and placebo women lost a lot of bone mass over a year. The women taking the lactobacillus reuteri lost half, 50% less bone mass compared to the placebo group. Now, these ladies weren't doing vitamin D or anything else. Just in isolation, this one probiotic preserves bone density. So it has some really spectacular effects.
Okay, well, I think you've set off a stampede for your website where you talk about this. Give us some resources, please. First of all, the book is great. It's entertaining. It's well-written. It's full of facts. And it's a very, very persuasive indictment of our current medical system, demolishing some myths about healthcare. It's Undoctored, Why Healthcare Has Failed You and How You Can Become Smarter Than Your Doctor, available from the usual sources. And you've got an undoctored website, right?
Yes. And by the way, I'm not selling yogurt. I'm just giving information.
Right. Gotcha. I don't think you have a proprietary interest in this. It's just you came upon it and you're urging people to explore it.
Yeah. I don't want people to think I'm pushing it for some, other mm-hmm. motive.
Yeah.
But they'll find lots of these conversations in the Undoctored blog. The Wheat Belly blog, there are Facebook pages for both. If someone wants a really deep dive into the undoctored world, there's something we call the Undoctored Inner Circle, which is a paid membership website, and that's gotten very big. We even have a weekly two-way video meetup with our group, and lots of good stuff coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. And there's even an Undoctored Cruise, I understand.
We actually had a Wheat Belly cruise. Wheat Belly/Undoctored cruise okay. last year.
Okay.
We're considering whether we should continue that. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. When's the Broadway musical coming out?
That's right.
Just kidding. All right. So obviously you're a prolific guy, and you're getting the word out, and in a very, very palatable form. Excuse the pun, because. It's a way of life that can be very, very rewarding. And it started with Wheat Belly, and you're moving on to Undoctored for a more comprehensive view to how to recapture your health. So great stuff. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Dr. William Davis. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.